Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Kent, and our other host, Xavier, is currently not here at the moment, guys, but he will be stepping in shortly. He is stuck in traffic, but no worries. I'm going to go ahead and kick things off for us today. But before we get started, you guys, please make sure you do us a favor and like this episode, rate the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel, all of that good stuff. Leave us a comment. We truly appreciate it. And also, before we go into things, we are having a sale for a limited time only on our real estate and crypto, guys. So you guys go over to Millionaire Mindsets Academy and make sure you get both of those guys before the price goes back up. So getting into this episode, we have a very, very special couple, two people that I really admire and love everything that they're doing as far as entrepreneurship, family-wise, everything. They're just killing it on all fronts. They are the Heart Socks. Oh, welcome to the show, y'all. What's
up? Thank you for having us.
Of course. You know, and this isn't the first time y'all have been on the show.
No.
It's actually the second.
2020?
August 2020. Were episode 95.
Sheesh. 95. Now you're up to?
We are on, 159?
Okay.
I believe this episode we're recording is 159.
Look at that.
We was all on our couches back then.
We were on Zoom, and look, now we're here in the studio.
Yeah. They were also local. In California,
we
too.
Were in still now we're in Dallas. Yeah. Yeah. So much has changed. I could go on. But we're going to get into all that stuff later in the episode. But for those people out there who haven't heard our first episode, where you guys, you know, let us know everything about you guys and explain your background, can you just go ahead and give us a quick refresher on who you are?
Okay, so as you said, I'm Janoka. This is my husband, Anthony. We are from Brooklyn, New York, now living in Dallas, Texas for the past 5.5, 6 years. We got married. We've known each other for over 20 years, first of all. We've known each other for that long. Got engaged 2014, married 2016, and then came down to Dallas. And since being here, we've entered a whole new world, if you will.
Yes. I don't even know where to start.
Debt payoff is the quick one.
$114,000 of debt in 23 months. That's kind of where our story...
23 months, you guys.
23 months. That's kind of where our story kind of started. And then we... What else did we do? We started...
Jesus, are you in the journey or what? We side hustled our way out of debt, basically. Mm-hmm. Instead of cutting back on expenses, we just got a lot of jobs. Mm-hmm. In the midst of that, we started a cleaning business down here in Dallas, Texas, November 2017. Mm-hmm. And then once we paid off the debt, we really revved up on things and started to travel more, things like that. And we launched the course in I think we spoke to you guys August 2020. Mm-hmm. So then we launched the course July, I think, 2020, of teaching people of how to get their cleaning business up and running without cleaning any homes.
And then we have two rental properties. We just moved into our first home.
Yes. Checked them out.
We have a virtual assistant business for cleaning business owners who want to get out and scale their business as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it.
Well, yeah. Then, so
I mean,
there's other things happening here. So we got this. We got the house at the end of 2021. Mm-hmm. Anthony retired from his 9 to 5 in 2021, and then we have a baby on the way.
And a couple.
Baby Hartzog in like 3 weeks.
I didn't know it was that close.
Pressure. No pressure. Okay. Really, any day now is what the doctor says.
Could happen here.
But, I mean, that would be a hell of an episode. Baby Hartzog came out.
Ain't nobody topping that, right?
Ain't nobody topping that one.
But yeah, so that's everything in one, I guess. Yeah. I would say.
I got nothing to add to that.
That's amazing, y'all. And first and foremost, shout out to Black Love, because it is just amazing to see what y'all do and that y'all do it as a unit, and y'all have come so far together in 20 years in the game.
That's
the goal.
And we wasn't together that whole time. We just known each other that whole time.
Just known each other, but that's still, you know, really amazing. So I want to get into let's get into the debt first. So you guys paid off $100K in debt in 23 months, which, I mean, I don't know how you did it, but I'm going to let y'all get into that. But I also want to ask you on top of that how you did it, but how has the wealth building strategy changed since paying off that debt? Because, you know, the main goal when you're doing it is to, you know, probably budget, you know, just focus on paying that down. But what do you do afterwards? Like, how do you now build wealth?
Yeah. So after we paid off our debt, we were like, we got because we were don't want at least $5,000-$6,000 of debt every single month. Mm-hmm. And that's when the game changed for us. When we were, when the debt was paid off in that first month with January 2019 came, and we said, all right, we got $5,000-$6,000 that we don't have to put to debt. What do we do at this point?
Yeah.
We spent it obviously a little bit. We enjoyed ourselves.
You splurged a little bit.
At that point, we said, all right, now what's our next steps? All right, we started putting more into our investment accounts. We were like, all right, we're gonna start saving more for our future. We're gonna start saving for more for our first investment property. So that's kind of how it's, that's kind of the difference now. Now we're taking our money and putting it into things that will grow for us in the future versus before it was just us raising our income just to pay off this debt.
Yeah, that was our only focus, paying off the debt. We could have done it faster because we continued, at that time we both were working on 9 to 5, so we continued paying towards our 401k. Like, we didn't stop any of that. So we could have done it faster, but it was like, no, I just, like, let's just focus on this. We still can have all these other things going while doing that. So
of course. And I mean, when you're doing something like that, it's not like a one size fits all. You got to kind of tailor it to your situation and just go from there. So for people who may be in a situation where they're trying to get their strategy together for paying off their debt, whatever the case may be as far as the number, what would you recommend first and foremost to get started?
Budgeting.
Budgeting.
Well, maybe the first thing is finding out how much debt you owe.
Because
I think a lot of us don't even know. I mean, you know
people
that
don't
you
know.
Or they don't
want to
know. Yeah. You may know, like, okay, I think I have $30K on the student loans and $15K on a car. And so maybe putting your number together, it could be scary, but putting your number together to figure that out, what does that look like? And then I would say budgeting was a game changer for us. Like, we never were missing on bills or anything, but budgeting just allowed... What do you usually say? Our money, like
budgeting, allows you to know where you're, how you're going to spend your money. Versus people think about a budget as it's like, all right, I'm constrained, I can spend the money the way I want. No, a budget is you telling your money how you're going to spend it. That's all it really is. It's like, all right, well, I'm going to spend $300 on brunch or $300 eating this month. That's all it really is. Versus saying I can only spend $300 on eating and brunch and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so that's what I think about budgeting.
Because when we budget, it wasn't just for house expenses, right? So, like you said, it was brunch, it was Uber, it was travel. All of that was in our budget.
Yeah,
like, because that's what we wanted to do. I mean, some people want to be strict and cut all of that out. That's totally fine, but that's not the life that we wanted. So all of that was in our budget.
So did you guys ever have any moments where you struggled a little bit or might have deviated from the plan? Like, how did you jump back into the flow of things without getting discouraged?
All of our deviation came from you.
Uh-oh.
I knew you were
going to
say that.
Don't put my sis on blast.
I'm going to say that.
That's fine. I mean, that's fine because it's true. Because he's more of a straight and narrow. Like, once he gets his mind to it or towards it, he's like, all right, we're going to do this and that's it. Like, there's no questions for him. But for me, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Our family is in New York. Something is happening. Let's fly back. The biggest thing I think that we kept struggling with was like, well, we can afford. My thing was like, well, we can afford it. So what's the discussion? And he's like, because we can afford it, don't mean we got to spend it. That was like the balance that we always had to.
And that's still the balance.
That's still the balance. Because I'm just like, what's the question? Like, what? It's not dipping into our savings. It's not dipping into these other things. So what's the issue? Mm-hmm. So that was our biggest concerns, I think.
Yeah. When it came to us, like, she's more of the traveler. So every time she wanted, it was always something coming up. It's like, oh, we got to go to New York for this. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Atlanta for this.
Somebody's
like,
back
trying
to
escape this Dallas.
We always got to leave Dallas to go do something else. I'm like, you don't have to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. You can just kind of, let's lean back a little bit. Let's get focused. But
and I'm like,
she
got
to go everywhere. That was our biggest, that's still our biggest challenge today.
Hey, yeah. As long as you're working on it, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Right.
So before I pivot into our next topic, I do want to ask, was 23 months the goal? To pay it off, or what, or did you exceed it, or do it earlier? What was the actual goal?
So when we started, there was no goal. Mm-hmm. It was like, all right, let's just pay it off, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think within 3 months, we had paid like $12,000. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we may be able to pay this. And so then the goal became to pay by my 30th birthday. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we did. We were going to Houston to celebrate with like friends and family for my 30th birthday. And so we made sure we paid a few days ahead, you know, so it can reflect. Yeah. Actually, mm-hmm. You know, it takes
right.
a while.
But it's a post.
For it's a post. We wanted to say zero for my actual birthday. So we paid it a few days ahead. And so that is what became the goal. Mm-hmm. And that's how we did the 23 months thing.
And I don't think it was really fueled until we were talking to someone and we said we want to pay it off by her 30th birthday. And it was like, mm-hmm. that is an arbitrary goal. Why do you want to pay it by her 30th birthday?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, that's her goal. Let's do it. Yeah. And I was kind of like, all right, cool. We're definitely going to do this now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that was kind of what fueled us to do it too.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I mean, what better way to walk into 30?
Right. Exactly.
Free. Like,
exactly.
That's a great
You don't really hear about that often.
You really don't.
So that was, I mean, you don't even hear about people paying off debt. I mean, before we even started, mm-hmm. I was like, well, what's the reason? Like, what?
Yeah.
It's going to be there. Like, you know, that's life. You think your car, our student loans are going to be there. So why are we even paying it off, really?
So let me ask y'all this real quick. Do you think all debt is bad debt, or do you think there's a such thing as good debt? Because that's a common, you know, topic.
Ask him. I got to answer.
I don't give debt a personality trait. I don't give debt adjective, a verb. Debt is debt. You owe it. The way you use your debt, it could be seen as good or bad. But I'd say all debt is debt. Mm-hmm. It's not good debt or bad debt. If you use debt to make you money, that's great for you. If you use debt in your, if it's a car or whatever it may be, that doesn't mean it's necessarily bad. So I don't think I don't think there's such thing as a good debt or a bad debt, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think debt can be used to get to your goals a lot faster if you wanted to. So before we paid off our debt, I was very anti, you know, credit cards. I was very, like, we didn't get our, we didn't start using our credit cards until when? Maybe like a year or two ago?
We didn't start using it again.
We had credit cards and we stopped using all of them. So we didn't start using our credit cards again until recently, but I wanted to make sure we had a good grasp on our money before we started saying, all right, well, we want to get points and all of that stuff. It's like, it really wasn't important to us. So to answer your question, I don't think it's good or bad debt. It's just debt, and the way you use it is going to get, it could propel you or it could put you like further behind.
I agree 100% because there's so many different ways you can leverage debt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the real problem comes into play when it's consumer debt, because that's when people really let it get out of control and they just let it stack up to the point where it's really hindering you from doing anything. But if you're using it for real estate, for instance, like how you guys are venturing into that space, it could be really helpful.
Yeah.
If you think about the percentage of people that actually use debt that way, the numbers say differently. So it's always funny when people are arguing on like social media. Like if there's 100 comments, maybe 20 people in these comments know how to use that and leverage it. So what's the conversation?
Really? Yes.
Honestly, but people aren't honest with themselves. So there's that.
They're definitely not. We see a lot of that. So I want to get into something that's really, really important topic, because I know when we first talked to you guys, you both were working your 9-to-5s. Yeah. And now we got retired life going on over here. And, you know, that's the goal for everybody. Retire young. It's a beautiful thing. Uh-huh. So I want to get into that. How did you know it was time to retire?
It was time to retire when Janoka said you could retire from your job. That was really it.
Because he would have been done it.
Say the word.
I would have been left my job. But the goal for us, like this whole, I mean, I retired last year. We said in January that, all right, this is going to be my last year. And what really nailed the coffin for me was I had my, you know, my best friend had passed. And I hired my best friend to work with me. Mm-hmm. He was my second manager under me. We had the pandemic. He was gone. And I kind of lost my drive for my company, too. It was like, I did everything I wanted to do. It was like, I hired my team. I hired my managers. I got them bonuses. I got them all the raises they want. I got people where they want to be in their careers at my job. And I couldn't go any higher. I was a director. I was the youngest director, youngest black director, youngest director overall. And there was nothing more for me to do. I was so focused. I was at work focused on everything outside of work. I was like, you know, I'm focused on the real estate. I'm focused on the businesses. And I was like, there's no reason for me to continue to be here.
Yeah.
So that was in January of 2021.
Yeah, we had that conversation that by the end of 2021, he would leave his job. And so we just kept saying it, like, you know, it's going to happen.
Started telling family and friends.
And they're like, go ahead and do it. Because it's funny, because when we first paid off our debt and we started, we were side hustling, maybe raising all this income, we kept saying, all right, whenever we cover our income, our 9-to-5 incomes, then we'll leave our jobs. That happened. Whenever we double it, you know, whenever we're making this amount, you know. So we were bringing in way more than our income for at least 2 years. And we're we kept saying we're going to do it, and we're not. We're not pulling the plug.
But getting finally, around people like you guys, it was like, there's no reason for us not to do this. It was like, you know,
What's holding us back?
We got friends and family who are doing these type of things. So it was like, what's holding us back at this point?
Exactly.
So December came around, had the conversation with my boss, and I was like, actually, he had a conversation with me.
I'm about to say,
He said, you mind if I just take this off the record? I was like, whatever you want to do. He's like, I was on social media.
We already knew where that was going.
I know where we're going with this. He's like, somebody brought this to me. He's like, I have to discuss it with you because it was brought to me. And he said, I was on social media and I saw that you're doing great things. And I just want to know if your heart is still in the game, like still in the game of the company. I was like, all right, cool. I know where we're going with this.
Yep. I was like, whose heart is in any company?
Right. I don't have to, my heart doesn't have to be in it full, like 100%. So I went back to Janoka and I was like, yo, I think this is our time to make this move. And she's like, all right, cool, let's do it. I gave them like 2 months. I was like, I'm not going to leave.
You were there for 9 years. So
look, don't y'all hate when they follow y'all on social media?
I was surprised. Like, we was on Good Morning America. I was like,
years before that.
Yeah, before that. We actually had somebody watching Good Morning America that morning. I walked into the office. They was like, that was you? I was like, nah. I was like, and they was like, that was your, like, let's not talk about it. It was kind of like this thing that was kind of hidden. People knew. Like, coming on a podcast like you guys, it's like, people listen to you guys all the time. So they would hear us on different things and see us. It was like, is that you guys? I'm like, cool. It's like, whatever. I kind of left it alone. So we never really gave it any energy at work. It's like, I'm here to work. Whatever you guys see me doing outside of work, that's great. We can talk about outside of work. But, you know, that was pretty much it.
I love it. And before I ask my next question, let's welcome our co-host, Xavier. Welcome to the show.
What's up, man? I'm super glad to be here. Man. My apologies, y'all.
Glad you made it safely.
Yeah, I was in a, it was a crazy accident when the car was facing the other way. Hopefully they good.
Prayers,
I'm happy that y'all here, man. I want to ask them. So did they try to talk you out of leaving?
Yeah, he said, my manager said, listen, if you go back and you think about it and you come back and say you're in it, like you're 100% in it, and I feel like we can put this under the rug, leave it alone. And I said, I'm not going to tell you that right now. I said, I'm going to go back. And I literally said, I'm not going to tell you that right now. He said, you tell me right now you're in it. I was like, I can't tell you that right now. So we went home and I literally took a whole week and I came back. It was like that Monday. I came back I came back Friday or like Monday. And I was like, listen, I'm not in it. And that was, he's like, if you still want to come back, still want to do this, let me know. I was like, I don't think I can.
Was it hard to give up 9 years though? Being with a company for 9 years?
That's a great question. It was difficult leaving my team. It wasn't difficult leaving the company. It was difficult leaving my team. But I think there was nothing more I could have done for them. I literally, the last thing that I did for my company was I told my CEO, I want to do a memorial for my best friend who passed, and I want to do like a company scholarship, you know, in his honor and give it to somebody that kind of embodies who he was. And they literally sent me the email, this last week, that they gave the award out, they granted the money, and I was like, that's the only thing I want to do before I left.
Oh,
and
damn.
They
did
it. So it was nothing more
that's
I could have
amazing.
Done.
That's amazing.
It was hard to leave my team, though, but the company,
And then the guaranteed income too. That's the part that you are.
She was like, stay until after the end of the year, so I get my bonus, and then I could go on. I could go on leave with her, but I was like, nah, I don't want to put my company in that situation where, you know, I got my bonus, and then now, I'm not coming back after that. I was like, nah, we didn't want to do that.
Have you had any moments of regret since leaving?
Nah.
No.
I think I'm still trying to figure this out. It's still brand new. I mean, things I'm doing now, I was doing it before.
Right.
But the only difference is now is I have the full day to kind of do it versus trying to spend that, you know, 3 to 4 hours after work or on weekends mm-hmm. trying to do it all. So now I got a full day to do what I was already doing. So mm-hmm. no regrets so far. Mm-hmm. I bother her a lot more during the day. So
I also was telling him, I'm like, you don't have to be in this office 8 hours. You know that, right? That's the point of you getting away from working the 9 to 5.
I'm sitting there 9 to 5.
Every day since he started in January, he's there like, because I work, what is my schedule? Like 8:30 to 5. That's his schedule. Mm-hmm. What I'm like, the point is for you to get out of there.
Exactly.
You don't need to be in there every day. You don't need to be there for 8 hours.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Well, he's still trying to navigate.
I'm still programming. I guess where I got to be in front of a computer for 8 hours.
That could be beneficial though, too, though.
Yeah,
getting a lot done.
Yeah,
he's definitely. I think also like with our businesses now, we're trying to get a lot in order and get management in place so that we're not always doing this. So it's a lot of work
things happening right now.
Right now. Mm-hmm. I think over time it will slow down and he wouldn't have to be there.
I go outside with my dog. I play a little bit, but most of the time I'm in the office though.
Yeah.
You said you was getting 2 years of income before you left. So do my question is, do y'all advise? What do y'all think about people that just leave without having like that safety. Proof that, you know,
that it works, that they can keep doing it?
What y'all think about that?
That's foolish. I mean,
because some people be like, you got people that be like, just go on a limb if you believe in it.
Just jump off. I am okay. So I guess that depends because I'm not a risk taker at all. So
not she's not
at all. So I am not one that's gonna just jump off the bridge. I need to make sure it works. Like, we had an emergency fund for 3-6 months, and then COVID came. I'm like, let's make this a year.
Right.
And he's like, you think that if you lose your job, it's going to take you a year to find a job? I'm like, no, I don't think so. You're right. But let's just do that. So that's kind of like how I am. I'm very secure. I don't do any type of risk. So doing the businesses and stuff is already a big risk for me. So I would not quit a job just on the way. But that's just me. I don't know if you have advice to somebody.
I'm the same way. Like, I'll take risks to a certain extent, but I don't want you jumping. I don't want you quitting your job because you got a t-shirt business or something like that. And you want to make sure you're making some sort of secure income so that you know, all right, this money's coming in month after month. But one thing I also realized is that you don't really need as much money as you think you need that to survive off of. So it was like, all right, you get that $10,000 a month, you know, income, you could quit your job. Now it's 20, now it's 30. You realize you don't even need that 10. You probably need like 4 or 5 to actually survive and live a good life. So I think realizing how much you actually need to survive and then making that, I would do that before doing anything, but she wanted to be overly secure.
I feel it, though. And before we get into the next question, let's go ahead and get into the first ad of the show.
This episode is also sponsored by The Morning Meetup. One thing all successful people have in common is strong connections. If you're trying to break into the entrepreneurial world, you're looking to network with like-minded individuals, or you're looking to take your business to the next level, currently entrepreneurs from all across the country meet up every morning for a daily meeting from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern to start the day off right. If you want to join this community, there's never been a better time to try it out because for a limited time only, you can start a 7-day trial for just $1. If you're looking to get started with The Morning Meetup, you can go to www.themorningmeetup.com/$1 trial. And like as always, the link for that is in the description of this podcast episode. Congratulations on the baby. This is a big step. So, and also congrats, y'all on the podcast now too.
Yeah.
Shout out to y'all. Make sure we got to plug that for the people that's listening, so they can support that as well.
Thank you.
So, like, what's it like now? Like, was all these new things, new changes, you know what I'm saying? You left the gig, baby on the way, another new venture. What's it like balancing all these new things at once?
I think we still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, the baby's going to be here in like 3 weeks, so we're
man.
Yeah. So that will change dynamics.
That's gonna
completely
change everything.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't have a comment on the baby part yet. Things are slowing down now, like now that we're in the stretch of, but thankfully I've had a pretty good pregnancy, so I've been able to move around and do things. It hasn't really slowed down anything. I'm still working, stuff like that. But I work from home, so that's a little bit easier. The podcast thing, I did not want to start because of the things that you just mentioned. I'm like, we get in the house, we have a baby on the way, like, you quitting your job, like, why would we start something new?
That's the perfect time.
He's had the perfect time. Oh,
yeah. He does stuff like that.
No. Perfect time.
I mean, we've been talking about doing a podcast for years.
I remember.
Do it. Exactly. Which I agree that it would be a good thing. I just is like the time commitment. Do we have it? That was my biggest concern. And so what has helped us is to kind of like batch record. And so doing like three episodes at a time and stuff like that. And really planning it ahead, like me letting him know, like, okay, these are the days that I'm available. Other than that, don't come to me.
And that's kind of how we do everything, whether it even comes to, like, content or, like, our other businesses. Like, all right, we try to plan before we get there. So, like, our social media stuff is like, all right, how can we plan before she's completely out the game so that, all right, we know we can't do IG Lives anymore because she's going to be gone. So how can we do, like, more, if we have more podcasts, we can put those out. So we plan in advance pretty well, but balancing it all is just really calendars, honestly.
Lists, calendars, whiteboards.
And we try to base it on like what's priority right now. So we know we got a podcast coming up. All right, well, we know that Saturday, Sunday we're gonna be recording. If we know we need content, all right, that Sunday night we're gonna be making content. So we do a lot of batch everything, honestly. Yeah.
And it's being intentional about it.
And then you still got the whole family side too.
It's a lot to it. Yeah. I wanna ask you guys about the VA business for cleaners. Cause you guys have done
we're
here. That's what it's about. But y'all have done something special. Y'all have found a niche within your niche.
Yeah.
So you took the cleaning business, killed that, and now you've made a whole nother stream within that. So can you guys talk about the mentality behind that? Like, what brought that about?
Yeah. So that's ZiggyVA.com. And we just stumbled across it, honestly. We were using them as a service already, and they were fantastic. We've used multiple virtual assistants in our cleaning business, but they was literally the best company that we used, and they were going out of business. The person who owned the company, he was a multimillionaire. We know him. And he was like, I don't got the time for this. Not enough money for him. And he was like, they was going to give it up. He was like, yo, we could take this business.
Well, we didn't say that.
I said that.
I said no.
I hit him up. I was like, yo, if we took this business from you, like, what would it mean? He's like, just give me some money. I was like, all right, cool. We paid him the money. Janoka was like, yo, I don't want to run this business with you. She was like, this is going to be like a 70-30 partnership or like a 60-40.
I gave her a 60-40. I said, make sure you put on the LLC like that I only have 40%, you got 60%. That's fine.
And our goal was like, I'm like, listen, if we already have them running they were already running our cleaning business. Now we own the company who runs our cleaning business. Now so we could run other cleaning businesses through this virtual assistant company. So now we got the course, we got our cleaning business, and we got our course, and we got our virtual assistant business. So where do you think our students are going to go when they need services? So it's just
straight
one
to the source.
It's a funnel. So and we wasn't even thinking about it that far down the line. Now we're seeing how our students go through our course, they get their business up and running. We talk about it in the course, and they kind of use our services because we knew how good they were. So that's how we kind of came across it. But it's been a life changer, not just for us, but for our virtual assistants, because there is black owned. It was a black owned company, still a black owned company. They're 99% women. We had one guy who was with us. You know, moms, we're keeping them, you know, we're keeping them paid. So it's been life changing for them too.
I want to give y'all a big salute because not only with the cleaning, y'all obviously extremely successful with it, but y'all got others making a lot of money. Like I said, that's what I
our
like
students
to see.
Are killing
y'all got
it.
Students that's killing it. Like I know Alex personally, and I see what he's doing. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Like that's the dopest thing in the world to me because, I mean, you know, you could do it yourself, make a lot of money, but when you got others, you helping impact other people's lives. That's like, I love to see stuff like that.
Yeah. We tell people all the time, he is not the norm student. he came, I was like, yo, and I want to do this. I'm like, yo, you're going to kill it. Because I talked to Alex a lot on the side before he even wanted to do this. I'm like, yo, you're going to kill it. And he started it, and he's like, yo, this is starting to work. I see it. He's like, I know I'm going to go with this. I'm like, all right, cool. He came back. I was like, yo, man, I did $200,000. I was like, what? It took us 3 years to hit that. You know, we got some other students who are doing extremely well, too. Yeah. But obviously, he's the one that's just out there the most because he's on social media. But it is very important, not just for us to have the success, but also helping other people get there, too. And they come to us all the time. Like, you know, that I got my first book, and I got my first this, and I still remember our first bookings when we got
Or
those.
Students, like, they got 100K in a year. I was like, we only did, like, 75 in 1 year. But listen, that worked for us because that was our first business, right? We had no idea what we were doing. We still was working on 9-to-5s, and so we're like, this is a business on the side, if you will, mm-hmm. right? But now, obviously, as the years has gone on, we've seen the value in it. And so the point is for our students to do better than we did. Like, mm-hmm. I don't expect you to go the same as slow as me, because I didn't have nothing to refer to. Right, now you got a whole blueprint. You need to be going faster than me. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
So let's get into the course. Like, so for someone getting the course, what all does it entail? Like, how is this course going to help you thrive in your cleaning business?
Yeah, so...
Are you going to go? Sorry. Well,
it's not for everybody. I started with that.
Okay, you can say that. You can say that. Well, the way that we do it and the reason why we don't clean homes is because we connect contractors with the clients. So everybody, the clients book us online, and when the job comes in, we send it to the contractors. They go out and do the job. We take a percentage. The cleaners get a percentage. That's essentially how it rolls. Yeah. But in regards to the course and what we put into the information we put in it is just basically A to Z of getting up and running from like your business entity part of it, LLC. Some people have no idea about doing that, bank account, that type of stuff. Straight to getting your first client. How do you find contractors? How do you find clients? Customer service, clarity, knowing your why. Like, why am I even doing this? Because like this week, it must have been a full moon. We've had clients that like cursing our contractors out, saying they calling the cops. Like,
we also had almost 50 cleanings this week too.
Exactly. That's so the more cleanings you have, the more issues you will come across. Kind of with anything. So knowing your why and kind of sticking to it, and how do you hit that 100K a year? So we go through all of that in the course and more. We provide them with interview questions to ask in the interview, the job ad to post. The contract that they're giving the contractors that we spent close to $1,000 from, we got it from a lawyer. That's included in the course. So all of that is in the course.
And one of the things that we talk about in the course is like, we try to give you as much information as possible, but we can't give you everything. Like there was one student today, it was like, so when I send them the contract, do you think I should use DocuSign for them to sign it online? I was like,
Do what you want.
Do what you want to do. So we try to give you as much information as possible. Like that's not a question I would think about somebody would ask me, but we try to give you as much information as possible in the course too, so that you can be successful. Having all the tools that we didn't have when we started.
Were y'all ever doing, and it's the reason I'm asking this question, before y'all started the course, were y'all ever doing consultations?
Yeah.
That's how that before the course though?
I don't know. But I think that we were doing consultations around the time we started the course because that gave us the blueprint for starting the course.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Because we were doing like a couple $100. It wasn't even a couple. Was it like $300 one-on-ones?
$400.
$400 one-on-ones. Yeah.
Y'all still doing?
Nah.
No, but the last time it was at $25. So when we do start it, $100.
Okay, I thought you said $25.
No, $2,500. Please, no way. You must not know me.
We use that framework to actually build the course.
Are questions people ask?
And then we use everything that we learned in that 4 weeks to kind of get that up and running. So we used to do like the one-on-ones early on. And we use that framework to kind of build out the
structure. Was just referencing the last time that 25, because when we start again, it will be higher than that.
It would be much higher. Right.
Because the time commitment with that is just...
Because we do 4 weeks and we do one-on-one sessions. You got access to us via text, via email. Conversations when you need us. So it was just an ongoing thing. And it was a lot more time outside that 1 hour.
The reason I asked that question is because surprisingly to me, at least, it's still so many people that's entrepreneurs that don't understand like how dope and beneficial it is to have their own course. Like it's a friend of mine that live in our building. I was talking to her one day, like she's an entrepreneur and stuff. And she told me she does $100 consultations for like an hour or something. Or an hour and a half, right? 90 minutes, something like that. And I was just looking. I'm like, really? I'm like, why? She's just like, why not? I mean, it's money for consultations. I was like, why not just do a course? And she was like, what you mean? And I'm like, what do you mean what I mean? You know,
maybe she's like, not on social media?
No, she is. Oh. She was like, so I started breaking it down to her. And she was like, whoa. She was like, well, I'm about to stop doing consultations. I'm like, you should. So she stopped. She just dropped her course last week. She did 14,048 hours. And she was like, man.
What have I been missing?
Right. Digital money is different. Like, it's different. This is why Janoka doesn't want to do any more real estate. She's like, this ain't even worth it. But this ain't even worth it. So we were definitely doing those one-on-ones early on. But if we do get back to it, it'll be a lot higher. But that course just changed the game for us. Because all you're doing is answering the same questions over and over.
So you put it in one spot.
You put it in one spot. Yeah. Now you don't got to go to Google. You don't got to go to YouTube. You don't got to go to whatever you search for. It's right there in the course.
No, seriously. Because you got 24 hours in a day. So nobody is working 24 hours Exactly. The day. So it's like, you got to go to sleep. So how many consultations can you truly do in a day?
You can't. In a week? You can sell a lot more courses.
You can sell a lot more courses.
And it becomes draining, honestly. Like, saying the same thing, giving your all.
You're trying to give people, like, all the energy you have.
Yeah, yeah. And some people showing up late. Some people just dry. You know, so it's just draining.
And that was the worst, too. You get the people that are just, like, they don't got the energy. Because we try to bring our energy when we have these conversations. It's like, yo, what's up? You know, blah, blah, blah. Tell us where you are. You got people who driving in the cars. Like, you pay this money. It got to the point where people paying $2,500 and
that's how I know it's not enough.
Like, you in Home Depot, like, we show up to our coach every single week, notepad in front of the computer, sitting there ready. Yeah. They in Home Depot, they doing this. Like, you serious?
Yeah.
That's why the price goes up every time.
But speaking of a coach, what made you guys get a coach, and how do you guys, I'm pretty sure it is, but I got to ask the question, what was the benefits of getting one?
Well, shoot, the benefits were somebody to keep us accountable to our goals. We came in and we told our coach we wanted to do 100,000 in a year, and she laughed at that. Because we did 100,000 on our own.
Since we had started the course in July, I think by the time we were starting with her, we had done like 70 something.
We did like 70.
July to February.
And she was like, if you did 70 by yourself and you only want to do 100 with me, my job is going to be easy. Mm-hmm. So it was somebody that kept us accountable to our goals. And then also telling us and showing us what we were missing. Things that I knew, like, all right, we need an email funnel. We need to have some sort of larger funnel. We need to have some marketing campaigns going on. Data. Even though I know this stuff, but I wasn't doing it. I know we need to do this, but I never did
Collecting the back end, doing a text community, also having this, you know, so many things that to help us to elevate our course. Like,
did you
explain this more? Go on this platform. So things like that, and like you said, the accountability of every week having homework, and because we weren't going to show up to our coach and say, yeah, we didn't do it.
No, exactly. Pay right? too much for that.
You're paying an amount. You're like, I'm going to show up and tell you what I'm doing in each. And we saw the return. The return was crazy, right?
Crazy.
So our first year with her, we did, what,
500,000.
500,000.
Our goal was... And that wasn't even
full year. Our goal was 100,000.
Our goal was 100. We did 5X. That started in May?
When we redid the core April.
April.
April or December, yeah.
She was like, all right, that's going to be an easy goal to hit, 100,000.
And that's just from the courses.
And then she kind of came
in. Because we still have our cleaning business, right? And our virtual assistant business and our rental properties. So very diversified.
And she came in also was like, all right, you got to get off of, we were using Slack or what was we using for the community?
For what? Slack.
We were using Slack for the community. She's like, you got to use something that's more community based. So we moved over. It's like Mighty Networks. Mm-hmm. Now we can have live calls in there. So she's like, you also got to raise the price of your community. You guys are going in there often. You guys are doing 2-3 lives a month. You guys are giving all this content. Mm-hmm. You got to raise the price. And I was like, well, half the community is going to leave. She's like, yeah, but you want that half to leave. And they left, and we got more people back at the higher price. Way more people. So now we have like 200 some odd people in our paid community. Mm-hmm. So she came in and was like, just kind of whipped this into shape.
And how did y'all identify the right coach? Because that's tough for a lot of people.
I think when
did you hear her somewhere?
Yeah, I heard her on a podcast. I mean, she was a co-host of a podcast, and I knew that her energy. I mean, it wouldn't be just me on this call, so I knew like that person had to be a fit for Janoka too. So she was even saying the first call, Janoka was kind of standoffish. And I was like, I knew that was going to happen because I couldn't have a coach that was a pushover that was going to let kind of Janoka do or not do whatever she wanted to do or not do. So, but I knew that person had to have some sort of flair or kind of personality behind them. Mm-hmm. And it was going to help. That was going to help us push us. So that was kind of like one of the major things I needed.
Yeah. I just went along with it.
I will see how this works.
Yeah, that's basically what I said. I was like, we'll test it out, and if it don't work, we're not moving on. That's it.
For your coach, did you get a coach who was just simply business savvy, or did you have to find someone who actually specialized in what you guys were trying to accomplish as far as like e-commerce and things like that?
It was just, she's just really like business savvy. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that you can have multiple coaches for different things though. Mm-hmm. I don't think you just need one coach for everything. Mm-hmm. So I know some people that have like, I don't know if it's called a mentality coach, but a mindset coach.
People have mindset coaches.
And then we have her. And so I don't think that one coach has to do everything either. But she is primarily like business savvy and helps coaches better develop like their programming and stuff like that.
I mean, Michael Jordan got a shooting coach. She got a fitness coach. She got a weight gaining coach. Like people always
coach for everything.
Yeah, you gotta have a coach for different aspects of your life. Spirituality coach. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's, and how many, when did, how far into business were you all before you got, when you got the coach?
Yeah.
So technically she primarily just focuses on our brand of Harchimony. So I guess we started Harchimony. Well, technically we had a course on getting out of debt first.
Oh yeah.
Y'all don't have that no more?
It's still there.
It's up there. I forgot about this.
Yeah, and he kind of did that one on his own. But the cleaning business has been our biggest thing. So we started that July 2020, and we got her like February 2021. So technically, quick into the brand of that. Now, our cleaning business itself has been started since November 2017, but she doesn't really help us with that part of it.
Okay.
So it's just really like the online brand. Yeah, the online brand is what she assists with. So less than a year. Because we knew that we wanted last year to be a big year for us. We knew that we needed more help than what we could provide.
Right.
And so that's why we said, like, we've gotten this far by ourselves. We've gotten pretty far, but we wanted to continue to elevate. So that's the reason why we decided to look for a coach.
Makes sense. Makes sense. My favorite thing about y'all brand is I see a lot of people that preach about getting out of debt, but then it's like, all right, y'all got out of debt, and then what happened? Mm-hmm. It's like, are y'all financially like independent now? Like, what's happening after getting out of debt? Yeah. But y'all's story, you see y'all getting out of debt, and now you see financial abundance. So you see both sides of it, which is extremely, extremely dope, in my opinion, to see.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, that's what, I mean, I guess when we paid off debt and we were like, well, what now? Because it's like you had this goal, you like, what? And it sounds weird that like we were like, what do we do with this money? People probably were like, what? What does that mean? I'm like, because we was putting all this money now. Now what do we do? And that's when we just saying, that's when we kicked off like, all right, we could do this. We can put our investments here. That's
it's funny that people find us now. They don't even know that part of the story.
Yeah.
Really?
They just think they just know it's for a cleaning business.
Right.
Yeah. They don't even know that part of the story. They say, oh, we get a lot of people like new that just meet us and they're like, they only know it's because of the cleaning business stuff. So they'll come and we start talking about our story. And this is why we go live often, because you always got new people that just find you, whatever. So we go live, we start talking about our debt payoff journey. They're like, I didn't even know that was a side of you guys.
Yeah.
So you got new people all the time that just wants to know more about, all right, where were you were there. And it's funny, people, even people that are like currently with us, they followed us throughout the whole journey. They're like, all right, now you guys got a house. Now you guys got a baby on the way. So social media is dope too.
Yeah.
I love that you say that, because it's important for people to remember that you never stop telling your story.
And so
you're always getting new followers, and you have to continue to retell that story as the brand grows. Because I see a lot of people like, oh, well, I already touched on that. I'm not just going to keep, you know, progressive. But no, you do have to keep retelling the story. I do want to ask you guys a question kind of aligned with the cleaning business and the course. So realistically, for the people who are listening and they're feeling all inspired by the episode and they're ready to jump into the cleaning business, realistically, how realistic is it to obtain 100K in your cleaning business within the first year?
Not very realistic.
You would say it's not?
No, I think it is. Because we did it. I hate when people get the story and they want to come out like, y'all want to do that. Nah.
Yes.
I like to give people the, no, don't try this at home. Most of our students that are taking seriously, they'll hit 100. Because we hit 70 when we didn't have nothing.
Right.
We had nothing at all. We were just trying to figure this out.
Yeah, and I think that with the, but it all, I have to, what I tell people, it all depends on you. Like, how you move ain't the same way I move. So I don't know if it's going to take you, are you going to sit on the course for 3 months and then try to execute? Or are you going to take it and get it up and running in 6 to 8 weeks? Right? Because there's a different, that's a different thing. Are you going to be the one that's like, oh yeah, I had a bad review and then stop?
I had a bad day,
a contractor calls out, so now I'm not moving forward. So there's so many variables as to, I don't know who you are, but can it be done? Absolutely. Like, that's what I would say. Like, it absolutely can be done, but there's so much more to it than just like getting there and knowing to push through the trials and tribulations, knowing that any business, it's going to be not so easy.
Exactly.
But it can be done.
Yeah, it's definitely attainable. And I think with us, when we first started, we talk about this story all the time. We started with a young lady out here, and she did like $200,000 her first year. But she was absolutely like drained from the business. If you scale quickly, you got to know how to.
Can you handle getting to 100K in 1 year?
People are like, I want to make all this money, but can you handle what that money's going to bring to you? Like, so she got sick. She was in the hospital. She had to leave her job. Her husband had to leave his job and focus on that full time. So So we tell people all the time, you can do it, but how fast can you scale? But if you're ready for that type of scaling, are you able to actually kind of maintain it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because when we would like listen and hear her story, we're like, Zen, what are we doing wrong?
We used to say that all the time.
And then we go to dinner with her, we're like, oh, no. This is, yeah. We're doing it at our pace. This is fine. I don't need it to be all of this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So. Like somebody like George Pitts, like he's down here in Dallas. He's going to be down here in Dallas. And he took our course and he got his business up and running within 24 hours. Like the whole structure of the business. Mm-hmm. Like most people are not going to do that. Like when we first started, I didn't even know.
It's not going to happen.
Nah. Yeah. He literally hit me up and said, I got the course. He's like, I went through it and he's like, I got the structure down. I was like, send me the documents, send me the thing. All this stuff was ready. But I didn't know how to form an LLC my first time going around. Mm-hmm. Right. So I had to go to LegalZoom, I had to pay them to do it. Mm-hmm. Now I know how to do it now. But if you have that type of understanding of it, you could be up and running and going. Mm-hmm. Now we send people like, all right, you could do LegalZoom, you could do it on your own, you could do like LLCuniversity.com. But I didn't know any of that stuff. I had to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on the person.
Mm-hmm. I got another question about paying off debt. But before you do that, we're going to go into our next sponsor.
Are you looking for a simple way to increase your monthly income and jumpstart your journey to financial freedom? We've cracked the code to Amazon's multi-billion dollar marketplace, and we want to introduce this lucrative opportunity to you. It's called dropshipping, and it's one of the most lucrative ways to passively make money online. What's mind-blowing is that it requires zero inventory. Our DFY commerce team has created a turnkey system to bring our preferred clients a 6-to-7-figure passive income stream, and the beauty is, the process is simple. 1. We will build and launch your store on Amazon. 2. Our team researches, curates, and lists product for you. 3. We continually optimize your store to maximize profits. 4. Our team fulfills all of your orders and customer service inquiries. The potential is endless with DFY Commerce. We are strategically looking for serious clients who are equally excited and serious about growing their income portfolio and want you to get in touch with one of our DFY Commerce team members today. Schedule a free, no obligation consultation, which will include a detailed revenue projection.
So my question is, if you all had to choose, which one is more important when paying off debt? Increasing your income or cutting expenses? You only can pick one.
Increasing your income.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's just because I feel there's but so much you can cut. I mean, unless you're willing to maybe like move back home with your parents or like cut like that. I don't know how else like a cable or stop going to Starbucks.
Your expenses can't ever be zero unless you're like a baby. As an adult, your expenses can't be cut to zero. So, but your earning income is always going to be unlimited. So I would definitely say focus on earning more money.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree, because it just costs money to go outside. It's like every time I step out the door, I'm spending $200. Like,
definitely focus on raising your income.
No, because I see a lot of people, they'll say like I'll see some people, they always talk about cutting expenses. I'm like, man, like you said, you go to Starbucks a couple times a week, you might spend $20. It's like, how far is that really going?
Inflation is so high. Oh, exactly. Like what else am I cutting? Even if you cut the cable, now you got Hulu, Netflix, Disney Plus. Amazon, like you're paying Prime. The same thing.
Add back up.
Paying the same thing. So I don't know how much you can cut. Like I still want to go out to eat. Okay.
She definitely do.
I still want to go to brunch.
Vacations and all that.
I still want to do these things. So, raising income would be definitely our answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I want to ask, because I saw that y'all post this question on Instagram, and I thought it was a very great question. You said, should investing be taught in school? And I want to hear y'all personal perspective on the topic.
We say, but I guess investing, there's so many variations of it. But just knowing what investing is, what that means, what you can do with it, what all those things, it's just not... You go to school and there's nothing about business, I guess, unless you take that major, a business major.
And that's only in college.
You don't really learn about business. There's nothing
about... I was actually pretty good in business management, too.
Okay, right.
I don't think it helped me at all.
It is.
Oh, you're trying to say what they taught you?
Yeah, I was pretty good at business management. It didn't help me at all. I don't remember anything from that.
But I think, just investing in the different ways that look. Because usually you hear investing, I just think, at least back in the day, stock market.
Yeah.
It's the only type of investment I think about, right?
Right.
But now we know there's so many other ways that you can invest. So I think starting that conversation in, when can you obtain it? Maybe junior high school, would be important. Mm-hmm. At least offering it would be important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell this story about my college experience. I lived in this house, and it was like six of us on the top floor, six of us on the bottom floor. Mm-hmm. And one of the kids on the bottom floor, his parents owned the whole building. So he was collecting rent from us. And I was like, if I would have known that, all right, I could have got an FHA loan, lived in one mm-hmm. unit in the apartment building that we lived in, and had all my friends live with me, I would have done that. Yeah. But we don't learn about this stuff. Why gotta mm-hmm. be 30 years old to know about this mm-hmm. type of investments? Why couldn't I learn that mm-hmm. in college or even spoke to anybody about it in middle school? But I think that's why we're here having these conversations mm-hmm. now, so that we can make sure our kids and our kids' kids start having these conversations mm-hmm. at least a lot earlier.
Mm-hmm. Agree. And I think we also got to take into account too, though, even if the school systems won't change and add this information in there, mm-hmm. kids are getting younger and younger and having more access to social media. So mm-hmm. things like what y'all are doing and like with this podcast, yeah. they're getting the information way earlier mm-hmm. than before now.
I'm laughing because he said kids getting younger and younger.
Sorry. But I'm saying like they're getting access to the information.
Hey,
you can go.
You did a thing with high schoolers.
I did a conversation with high schoolers, and they were like, all right, they gave them a choice of like who they wanted to speak to in regards to like what topics. And I think the topics was like sports, college, and entrepreneurship. And the whole class was just came to the entrepreneurship session that I was on. And the guy who brought me in, he was like, yo, they probably gonna pick you. And they want to learn about more entrepreneurship. I went to that class and they was asking some really good questions. And then we started talking about college. And I was like, how many of you guys are like really going to college or thinking about like going into business for themselves? And the classroom was kind of split. And I was kind of surprised that people are thinking about, you know, entrepreneurship before going to college. Now I'm not pro or con either one.
Right, right.
I was actually very interested and intrigued by that. Like they're thinking about doing entrepreneurship because at that age, I didn't know anything mm-hmm. about it.
No.
So I was like, that's super dope. So kids are thinking about it. They're getting it from social media.
Yeah,
they're getting
it
from these podcasts, mm-hmm. and they're learning more about it.
Kids making millions off YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
You're not talking about Lil Ryan, are you? Because that boy that just opened toys.
The kid's killing it.
The highest YouTuber in whatever year that was. Yeah. I'm like, child.
Is that his parents or is that him?
His parents had to. Right. I mean, they recorded him. Like,
does he have a personality?
Oh, I never watched that. Kids watch it though, and he was the highest paid YouTuber.
Yeah,
I swear.
Was.
And he opened
toys. It was like 28 million or something like that.
Yeah, he
like
opened ridiculous. Toys, and then he started selling his own toys in like an
he
egg.
He has a product. He has a
all
service.
All the toys that he likes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god!
Turn that into a podcast.
I swear, and it became like a thing. Like it's hard to find.
Wow.
Oh, God. Well, shout out to him.
There's always, when there's a will, there's a way. In this day and age.
He'll be retired by 15.
Right. He'll probably retire now. 28 million.
Right.
If I'm opening toys all day, I'm retired.
No, you're right. You're
already, he's
you're
retired.
He don't know it.
Do you even go to school at that point, though? Like,
that's a good question. I think they probably try to still maintain some type of childhood, probably, but because he doesn't understand what 28 million is, does he?
That's true.
He didn't know his numbers, though. Like, oh, this many people are watching me on YouTube, but he doesn't get the concept of the money.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all kid was making, at 5 years old, making $30 million a year, would y'all be like, you going to school?
I think the law said they got to go to school.
You got to learn something.
I mean, but you got to know how to maintain
the
it.
They got to
be here forever.
Mom said you can learn. There's other ways to learn that, though.
They got to socialize,
probably doing homeschooling.
Yeah, they got to, I don't know. They got to socialize, but the law says you got to teach these kids something.
Yeah,
they got to go somewhere. Something got to happen.
They going to home.
I don't think you can just be like, nah, they got $30 million. They ain't coming.
I was just thinking, I'm like, man, I don't know if I would be
like.
Because
you think about that with celebrity kids. They send these kids to school, like the Beyonce, Jay-Z's, the Kardashians. They have a bunch of money, and their kids go to school.
Yeah, that's a good point. But $30 million open the toys. I'm like, man, do you need school?
Do you need school? You might be more brilliant than a principal.
Yeah, at this point, what can they tell you?
No,
nothing
seriously,
at all.
Seriously,
they can't tell you nothing.
But I want to ask y'all about this, since you know marriage and working together. What's some tips that y'all can give people? Because I'm pretty sure people ask y'all this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Having business together, getting out of debt, excelling. What is the secret to doing all this and doing it together?
I think one of the big things is that we started everything together. So neither of us had a business of our own and brought it to the relationship. Because then it would be kind of like, well, you got your own thing. I'm going to do my own thing.
Yeah.
This is my business. I may need your help. I may not. So I think that that makes it a bit more difficult, but we've gone through every single thing together. But I also feel like personality is a big thing. Not every couple can work together. And you right. should know that as a couple. You may know, like, nah, I can't be with my significant other the whole time. It's not going to work. That's not, that don't mean that you don't love each other or nothing. Right, right, you, just right, know, right. you just know. You know right. your personalities. Mm-hmm. And then we also go based off our strengths and weaknesses to help us within the business. So I would take care within all the businesses. So I would take care of the customer service side of it. He would take care of the IT side of it, because that's just what works for the both
background
of us.
The systems, marketing, yeah. all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what
works. Because I can't deal with the people, man. I'd be ready to fire everybody really? All the time. Yeah.
Really?
And it's funny because he responds to like 95% of our DMs. He says something and I'd be like, let me hop in. I got this.
And I think that's just coming from my corporate environment too, because I managed 35 people at one point. So I know ins and outs of these headaches. So it's like I can see certain things that, you know, she may or may not see. So I don't have the same patience that she would have. And then also her background is...
Yeah, I'm a mental health therapist. So. Mm-hmm. I do therapy all the time.
She talks to people and hears their problems. Me, I don't want to hear your problems. We talking about business. This is a business conversation. Let's keep it that way. Recently we had a conversation with one of our staff members, and they were talking about all these personal things. And I'm like, yo, we are sitting here talking about why you aren't picking up the phones. Yeah. That's what the conversation, I don't care about your mom. I don't care about your aunt. We talking about why you aren't picking up the phones. Mm-hmm. And then you got to remember, you got to leave that stuff at home too, as an adult. Yeah. Mm. So she handles the people, I handle the marketing and all
yin
of
that. Yang, that's a good balance right there. Mm. Somebody got to be the compassionate one, I guess.
Yes. Well, it depends. I think I'm more compassionate in some instances.
I'd be like, no.
I can see that. I would have thought Janilka was the cutthroat.
It depends on the situation. It definitely depends on the situation, because I'd be like, no, that don't make no sense. Don't even do that. Like, why would you respond back? A lot of times he's like getting annoyed in DM. I was like, I told you not to respond. Leave it on red.
I'm like, I'll give them the information. Fine.
I'm like, leave it on red. Like, I don't got to respond to you. I'm not forced to respond. So sometimes I'm definitely like, you got to cut it. Because with him, business is always ongoing. I'm like, we got to end this here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's how we make it work.
Do y'all ever feel like it gets difficult to keep like personal things out of business?
Personal things out
like,
of business?
You know, being in a relationship, like, you know, personal, everything, everyday things, just as a couple, out of like the business side of things when you got to get to work.
I think that it's difficult not talking about it. Like, even if we do dinner or we go for a walk, we do 30-minute walks now because she has to, but we go on these walks. Like, I didn't realize the whole walk. She's like, you know, you talked about business the whole time. I was like, yo, that walk was really good. I was like, we got a lot done. And she was like, yeah. I was like, you didn't feel this energy in the walk? And she's like,
no.
You talked about business the whole time. I was like, I didn't even realize it. Yeah. So that's a challenge.
Like, so then the next day, I'm like, no business.
So I didn't talk about business the whole walk. I didn't recognize it. So that could be a problem. Like, my mind is always going. So it's like, if I'm thinking about business and it's on my mind right now, I want to get it out there so I don't forget it. So she's like, write it down, talk about it later. But I'm like, nah, I don't write it down.
Like yesterday, we watching TVs on the computer. I'm like, that got to be done now. It's 8 something at night. You just stayed in the office from 8 to 5. So now it's not, it's 8 something at night.
I had a contact who was only working with me at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm like, all right.
So that could be a challenge.
I'm like, all right, just wrap it up once you respond back.
He responded, I closed the laptop, I put it away.
No, you're right. So I think that's the thing. Like, him, business is always on his mind. Me, it's barely on my mind. To be honest, unless we're working in it, then I'm not thinking about nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking about nothing new. I'm not thinking about the next day. I'm not thinking about nothing. But he's constantly thinking about, so just reminding him, like, all right, you got to cut it here, or we're not doing that right now, which I don't think it comes across rude of like, I don't want to speak to you about it anymore, but he understands like that he's always on that, so it's okay for him to be like, yeah, all right, I'm gonna stop.
So that's a challenge.
So I want to ask y'all this, because I see what, like, everything y'all doing, it's amazing. It's just like y'all building an empire, man. It's really dope to see. So, like, what's the long-term play, long-term vision for both of y'all?
Long-term vision? Shoot, I don't got that for you. Long-term would be... So, I think long-term, like, we just literally filled out our paperwork for our kid, like, the trust, will, the estate, and all of that. And I think that's what the long-term play is, like, having these conversations with our potential kids down the line, so that they know that they could come up in a better structure than we did. But on the business side, honestly, I don't know. I want to have the biggest cleaning company in Dallas. And then I was like, I really don't care for that. So I don't know what the long-term vision is.
Long-term, I don't know. I know we want to continue to get more investment properties. We only have two right now. So we want to continue to get some more. And that's what I got right now. I really don't have anything else besides continuing to grow the cleaning business. We're continuing with the courses, thinking of other ways to make that full circle, like we spoke about with the courses and then the virtual assistants and then
the community.
Community and the one-on-ones and the groups. And so there's so much ways that it can continue to expand.
And then we see that. And then we see like other creators who like build whole empires around like what they do. So I don't see us being like the cleaning business coaches or like the world or anything like that. It's not something I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about teaching. I'm passionate about helping people. I'm passionate about the impact we're making. But I'm not passionate about the industry itself. Like, you'll ask me industry questions about cleaning, I'm like, I don't care. I don't need to know.
I always go back to Jeff Bezos. I'm like, he doesn't need to know what's happening in the day-to-day.
So I'm passionate about, you know, I think our long-term vision is continue to grow our worth and impact more people.
It was funny. When y'all was talking, I was kind of laughing a little bit because I'm like, man, I know y'all making money just because he said, I thought I wanted to be like the biggest cleaner business in Dallas, but no, I don't. And I'm like, once you start making money, you realize a lot of stuff that you talk about. Yeah. You're like, I don't want to do that no more.
When you think about how much money you really need, you're like, it's okay. Because the more money I'm going to make, the more problems and headaches I'm going to get with other people. And so I'm good where I'm at right now.
I just think I wanted all this stuff. I started making money. I'm like, man, do I really want all this stuff?
Yeah. I want that headache.
I'm kind of like, right.
We was having a conversation with, I don't remember who. I was having a conversation with someone. And it was like, how much money do you want to make a month?
Yeah, and you think you know.
And I was like, I would love to make like $50,000 in 1 month. That would be great, fantastic, like take home. And they said, all right, cool. And I was like, that sounded crazy. And then we did it. And
absurd.
It was like, wow, okay.
Wow, right.
And it was like, and it was like the next day, it was like, all right, cool. And you realize that money is not as important as you think it is.
Mm.
It gets you a lot of things in life. It does. It does solve a lot of problems. Don't get me wrong.
It does solve
a lot of problems, but it's not the most important thing.
You just mean like from a materialistic aspect. Yeah. It's not, because that's how people see it. You talk about money, they just think of, I'm going to go buy this, do this, this.
And then you get it.
You don't do none of it.
Yeah.
You don't do none of it.
It's
kind of like we paid off our debt. It was like, all right, cool, that's it. All right, what's next?
Yeah.
And that's how it is with money. But I don't think that's the problem. I think the impact is what's more important.
That's funny because I just did an episode earlier with a guest from New York, and he said the same thing.
Really?
He said, yeah. He's from New York. This morning. He's from Queens. And he was saying impact. He said the same thing. He said impact is most important.
Yeah, I think getting those stories of, you know, you changed my life. Somebody was like, I started my LLC. I never thought I could do this. I never thought I would see my name on a piece of paper that was mine. I'm like, that is impact.
Yeah. The first business owner in their family.
You just changed my generation with, you know, this information you taught me. And I think that's way more important than, you know, the money that comes from it.
That's a bar.
Y'all definitely have a large impact, too.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up, I just want to, you had any more questions before we wrap up?
No, that's all for me.
Before we wrap up, I just want to say, you know, we've been chatting for a while about getting this done. So I'm before the baby coming, y'all gone for a while. So I'm extremely excited we was able to get this done. We don't take this for granted. We appreciate both of y'all coming through.
I appreciate
coming
y'all
to the studio. Mm-hmm. Last time we did it was
August 2020.
Mm-hmm. Damn, it worked for real.
Yeah, we was on Zoom. That's what we were saying. We were on Zoom.
We was on couches on Zoom.
You guys were living.
We was in Cali.
Yeah. Y'all was on the couch and we was on the couch.
Yeah.
So much change since then. Like, man, that's dope to see. I can't wait till next time we do it. But before we wrap up, do y'all mind plugging all y'all stuff where people can find y'all, follow y'all, buy the course, everything?
Yeah.
So you can find our course on cleanandbusinessuniversity.com. That's where it has all the information that we spoke about as well. We also have a podcast, Heart Zog Hustle Podcast, on all streaming platforms.
Got to get y'all on that, too.
No, yes. We with it.
And mostly at the Heartrimonies, where you can find us on Instagram. And that's at the HARTRIMONY.
And cleanandbusinessuniversity.com.
Yeah. Yeah, those are our ways that you can find us.
That's easy to find. Clean and Business University.
Yeah.
I was surprised that domain was available.
Right. I was just saying it. I was like, damn, really? I'm like, you must have the purchase.
That's to show you. People ain't out here ain't doing it like that. Ain't really teaching like that. So.
Go ahead, D. What's your info?
And you can find me on Instagram at Deanna Kent, Twitter Deanna S. Kent, and TikTok Deanna Kent.
And you guys can find me on all platforms at Xavier C. Miller. That's Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. What else we got? TikTok.
We got YouTube, too.
Yeah, YouTube. Yeah, you can follow them on YouTube, too. What other platforms we got? That's TikTok. YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure I forget
trying nothing. To keep up with all of them. Right, it's a lot.
It's too much, man. Just follow me on everything. And that's all we got for you on this episode. Appreciate y'all tuning in to another episode. See you guys next episode. Peace.
You gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.